Inmates at Pelican Bay State Prison near the Oregon border are suing the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, alleging constitutional violations. It's quite a turnaround. Pelican Bay is a supermax prison, extremely high security. The men sentenced to live there are considered to be the biggest risks to the state. And the most dangerous among those are held in security housing units, or SHUs. Their cells about 6 by 8 feet. Inmates can't see each other, and they're kept inside for 23 hours a day, sometimes for years or even decades. According to the lawsuit, the SHUs constitute cruel and unusual punishment. What takes place behind prison walls is important, and not just for the convicts who live there. It's important for society at large. Philosophically, we have to consider what is fair punishment. And practically, we have to deal with ex-cons once they're released. The conditions they serve under can determine whether ex-offenders will rob, hurt, or kill again. We don't often get a look behind prison walls, but KALW's Nancy Mullane has spent the last year fighting for and receiving access to the highest security prisons in the state. The protective housing unit at Corcoran, where Charles Manson resides, the three death rows at San Quentin, and Pelican Bay.
I received 2 terms for participating in gang activity. Assaults, stabbings.
You were involved in that?
I was involved in, yes.
We'll hear more from inmate Robert Luca inside Pelican Bay soon, but first we're going to hear from an official with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, Deputy Press Secretary Terry Thornton. KALW's Nancy Mullane sat down with her at her Sacramento office to talk about why most reporters don't tell the stories behind prison walls and why Nancy did.
We try to make many of our operations and programs and prisoners and staff available to the press. This is a public agency, and the law also says that the public, and we truly believe this, but the public does have a right and a duty to know how the programs and operations of the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation are being run. They have a right. They have a duty to know these things. So we really try to make try to be as accessible and transparent as possible. Now, we are a law enforcement agency. There's always going to be certain things that we can't show a reporter or can't talk about. Things are being investigated. Crimes do go on in prison. Inmates do have rights, including their information being protected, medical confidentiality laws. And so when you factor in all of those things, plus safety and security, it can be a challenge. But still within the framework of the law, we really try to provide as much access as possible. The challenge has been, though, is reporters actually getting out from behind their computers and getting inside a prison. We have a lot of reporters who write about prison issues, and I think they should be going to a prison a lot more often. And that's why I think you're to be commended, because you make the long drive to a prison in a remote area. You know, you go through the process, having a background check done and everything, and having your equipment searched when you go in there. But you come away with some amazing stories, and those stories, they don't have that authenticity if you weren't in that prison, hearing the sounds, smelling the smells, you know, going through what our staff go through every single day when they go to work.
You know, when I first asked to go to death row and protective housing unit, it was not happening. You know, I was discouraged. And I know a lot of other reporters have asked to go to those facilities, but they've been declined. They've been not allowed inside. In fact, when I went into North segregation, I don't think a reporter had been on North Seg or the Adjustment Center. I mean, I know a reporter had been on East Block,
yes,
but not North Seg and the Adjustment Center.
Been a while. And actually, a few years ago, when there was authorization to build a condemned inmate complex at San Quentin, we did set up some tours with groups of reporters so that they could see the conditions of death row. And the reason that authorization at the time was given to construct a new facility. However, even on those tours, the reporters still were not allowed to go into the Adjustment Center. They only went into the entrance area and that program office room where they have the pictures of the inmates who live in that unit. That is one of the most dangerous units probably in the state of California. And frankly, and I know I conveyed this to you in our conversations, I was concerned for your safety because as an employee, I have never even been in that unit. I've only been in that same area that we've let reporters and a little bit of the yards where the walk-alone yards are. So even as an employee, they were so concerned for my safety, they wouldn't even let me. And so you were asking for areas that truly we were concerned for your safety. And I do believe they put a stab-resistant vest on you when you went in there.
I wore a stab-resistant vest at the security housing unit at Pelican Bay,
okay.
And then another one at the death row, at the adjustment center, and at East Block. Mm-hmm. I don't think I wore one at North. I think I had one almost the whole day that I was at, because I was inside the three different death rows for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. That was quite a day.
Yes, and those are heavy.
They're warm.
And they are warm. And our officers wear them for a reason. In fact, when our officers now are assaulted because they wear the stab-resistant vest, these inmates go for their heads and their necks now and their arms. We've had some very serious staff assaults in that adjustment center. I remember one in particular where the officer was stabbed with a large metal, inmate-made weapon, and it went to the bone. His bone was exposed in his arm. So when we talk about safety and security, we're very, very serious about these things because our officers, our custody staff, they take these risks willingly. We don't want anything bad to happen to a reporter. I mean, anytime a reporter walks into a prison yard, every inmate in that yard knows it. And they know, okay, that's a member of the media. And unfortunately, there have been rare occasions, unfortunately it is rare, but there have been occasions where if an inmate talks to a reporter, especially about gang issues, yard politics, all that kind of stuff, the inmate is assaulted. That has happened in the CDCR. And so this public information officer was very, very careful to make sure that the way that they escorted the inmate in, he was out of view of other inmates so that they wouldn't even know, oh, they're talking to that guy and, he's Mexican Mafia. Oh, they're going to talk to that guy and, he's Aryan Brotherhood. I mean, there aren't a lot of secrets in prison. And so I was very impressed with how he just made sure everybody was safe because this was a level 4 maximum security prison. And that is what our public information officers are charged with doing, to make sure the reporters are safe, to make sure that the inmates are safe as well.
That's Terry Thornton, the Deputy Press Secretary for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. She's speaking with KALW's Nancy Mullane. And you're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. Nancy spent the last year touring the most secure prisons in California, including the three death rows at San Quentin, the protective housing unit at Corcoran, which houses Charles Manson, and Pelican Bay State Prison. We'll return to her conversation now with CDCR spokesperson Terry Thornton.
The protective housing unit, we didn't talk much about that, but the reason that place exists is because those inmates who live there cannot live anywhere else in the prison system. They just cannot. They would be killed if they did. And so there are so many procedures in terms of, when they go to the law library or how they're even fed and who serves their food. There's that are different than any other procedures in any other unit in the state. And so you have to respect that and you have to support their mission, which is to keep these inmates alive. Some of the inmates that are housed there, we don't even want to confirm where they're housed because they could be in danger of losing their lives. They may have testified in some in some high profile or some federal case against other inmates, against gang members. Anytime you speak out against a gang, you're targeted. I've even had threat assessments done on me just because I'm a spokeswoman who talks about what gangs do in our prison system and, what we do in response to that. I've had to have threat assessments. This stuff is real and people's lives can be at stake. And we are always going to do whatever we can to keep people safe. And so the protective housing unit, you are the only reporter who's ever been in there. We had a request a few years ago when Michael Jackson's trial was going on. And there were a lot of questions about where he would live because he's such a famous person. I mean, he was a worldwide celebrity.
Oh, and is that where he would have gone?
It is very likely that that's where he would have gone. Where else could he have lived? Where else could he have lived? Because even if someone didn't want to try to harm him, they would have maybe tried to extort, or there's always something that they would have tried. And you can't take that risk. You have certain inmates. You have to, you know, that's why this protective housing unit exists. You have to protect their lives. And one thing I want to add, when we talk about security, you know, because you've heard me talk a lot about how we want to keep reporters safe and the inmates safe and everything, which is very important. But when our staff have to respond, then they're putting themselves at risk too. So you don't want to even have a situation where they would have to respond. I mean, I've heard of incidents where, I remember at Tehachapi, California Correctional Institution, two inmates attacked three officers. Four ended up being injured, though, because the fourth officer injured herself and wrenched her knee when she slipped in blood. So even just responding to an incident can cause grave injury.
So you work for the California Department of Corrections. You represent, you're the spokesperson for 33 prisons, representing about 120,000 inmates.
In our prisons?
In the prisons.
But we have inmates who live in camps. We have a division of juvenile justice. We have a division of adult parole operations. We have inmates housed out of state. We have inmates in community correctional facilities. We have inmates in a lot of places. This is a big department, and 46,000 people work for CDCR now, and that's about 20,000 fewer who used to work for CDCR a few years ago. You know, this department is downsizing with the reduction in our inmate population in the 33 prisons, but it's still a large organization.
But this isn't just a job that you go to and you do your job and then you walk out at 5 o'clock. I mean, you must carry this with you, this job.
Yes, because it's also a 24/7 operation, and things can happen at any time. I remember, you know, that riot, big riot at California Institution for Men in Chino a few years ago where the inmates burned down one of the dorm. I think that happened on a weekend. I think it was a Saturday night when that happened. So things can happen at any time. And I like working here because, for one thing, it's just interesting. And I get to work with a lot of great people. And I mean great people, people who care. I couldn't be a spokesperson for an agency that didn't care. I just couldn't be. But I know, you know, the people who are running this place, who work in our institutions, they work, you know, sometimes on their off time to bring in programming to inmates, you know, to be sponsors, you know, and liaison with the community so that they can bring in different kind of programs. They do care. And so I'm proud to represent them. They do take a lot of risks every time they go to work. Yes, we do deal with a lot of ugly issues. These are convicted felons. I remember a few years ago, a reporter asked about, he was doing a story about family members, how crime sometimes tends to run in families. And he asked about inmates on death row, wanted to know if there were any that had been related. And we looked into it and found at the time that there were six sets of brothers on death row. So then he wanted to know what their crimes were all about, because they were all crime partners of each other. And I was shocked to know that there were that many, to be honest. And I remember reading one case in particular, and I won't even go into it. In fact, after I read it, I've never shared what I've read with anybody, because what they did to this woman, this victim, I remember it just brought me to tears. I remember I had to just put it down. I had to just take a walk outside. It was tragic. And these are sometimes the kind of offenders that we house. And, you know, when I think about it, it still makes me sad, because it's like nobody deserves to die that way. Nobody does. And there's a reason we have the laws we do. CDCR doesn't control, you know, who comes to prison. It's the courts who arrest people, prosecute them, and convict them. You know, and so there's a reason we have prisons, and it is to keep the public safe, because there are people, it's just horrible. If you were to read what they did, it's very, very sad. So the job we do is important, and I will always encourage reporters to visit our prisons and see what that job is all about.